From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
The Bible says that God blessed them. I mean, anybody that God blesses, you and I know that if God has blessed somebody, the person is blessed. He says, multiply, be fruitful. So I want us to contrast, and that's what I'm talking about, financial fortune tonight. I want us to look at God's original plan, God's original image of a human being, and how our lives are now. So when God created man, He gave man every bit of control in this world. Money was not a problem. Riches was not a problem. Adam was rich. Because if you are not rich, you can't marry. Adam married. It's not them. Yeah. People are not getting married because they don't have money. People live together. If you encourage them to marry, they say, "Oh, you know, we want to build our house before." I always laugh when two people who are not married say, "We want to build a house before we marry." I see two foolish people talking. I see them all the time. Foolish people. Two. There's no marriage. There's nothing. But they believe and trust each other so much. They say, "We want to build a house first before we marry. When we don't build a house, then we go marry." I said, I'm seeing another two foolish people in this world. How do you, if you know the Bible, you'll never do anything important with somebody who you don't have a covenant with. It is covenant to do things together. Yeah. And the covenant also must be blessed by God. It's not something that you will just arrange some, if you want to call it 2x4 arrangement. You know 2x4 arrangement? It's like ghetto type of arrangement. You understand? So God created man, and Bible says that, and God saw it, and it was good. Now, how come you don't have money? If you look at how Christians live their lives now, we have grown to have a lot of faith in the world and in the world system more than in God when it comes to money. I'm saying that we have come so low, for all have sinned and come short, falling short of the glory of God. It has had such an indelible mark on humanity that our hope in riches is either in a job, in a career, or migrating. In fact, if you give yourself to the church, you are seen as almost like a foolish, an idiot who doesn't have anything or any vision or anything to do in his life. But when God created man and everything in the beginning, there was nothing like a man is broke. But you are broke. There's no money in your pocket. I'm saying that this is not what it is supposed to be. And it is not God's fault. It is your fault. Yes, we know man fell. And therefore, because of the fall, the power, the dominion, the fruitfulness, it was taken away from man. So if you go to Matthew chapter 4, if you care to go there, Matthew chapter 4, I'm talking about financial fortune. Yeah. Verse 10. Then said the devil, verse 9,
Verse 8.
Again, the devil takes him up into Kanuku Mountains. Pakaraima. And shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Are you following? All the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. It is very, very compressed. I say it is very, very compressed. When I say compressed, I mean that phrase, it is too simple and too short to help you understand the depth of riches and money that is in those words. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. We are talking about skyscrapers. We are talking about cities. You see, it is when you are landing, when you travel, you are coming back to Guyana. Oh, you praise. When you are coming back home in the night, it's only blackness you see. Dark. I mean, you. If you are spiritual, you can see that you are coming into a very dark place. If you're going to New York, you see, it doesn't have to be like that, you know. If you land in New York. Or if it's on Piako and these places, once you approach, you see lights. That's why the white man doesn't believe in the devil. Because we create darkness ourselves. All you have to do is put a light where there's darkness. That's all. But we can't put light in darkness. Yeah. We can't put light in our house and on the streets. Yeah. I heard they're doing something on the highway. I have to go and drive there and see in the night and see. So they could do that all these years and they didn't do it? Election gigs. Ah. I see. So the devil takes Jesus on a tour. He says, come, let me go and show you what I have. So he takes him on top of a mountain and shows him kingdoms. An example of a kingdom is like the British Empire, Queen Elizabeth. You know that lady is stinking rich? She doesn't do anything. So she's just there. You see, she's what? Is she 90 something now? 93? 92 or 93? Charlie, you 50 years, you look like you's granny. And then you can't afford much. And she's 92 or 93, but she looks like some 60-year-old woman. Moving around. Her kingdom and her empire up to great, 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 great. I don't know how you can qualify 20 generations after her. They are secured when it comes to finances. They are born in gold. They walk in gold. They live in gold. They cannot count their money. That is an example of a kingdom. So that is an example of what the devil showed Jesus. Now, stick a pin. If Queen Elizabeth's kingdom is almost an eternal kingdom, I can say it's an eternal kingdom. Yeah, I mean, earthly speaking, is until the world actually comes to an end. Now, if a human being can have a kingdom where those that are born into the kingdom don't have any worry, what is wrong with you? What's wrong? What is the problem? What is the problem? What is the problem that we have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? He's the beginning and he's the end. He's from everlasting to everlasting, and we are his children. We are his people. And you, Brooks. You see, I say something. If I don't have money in my pocket, it doesn't mean that I don't have money. You have to think well. Many of you, when you don't have money in your pocket, you don't have money in your bank, you say, you don't have money. No, that's wrong. And your wrong words actually have an impact also on your life. Yeah, the way you speak, it affects your life. If I don't have money in my pocket, it doesn't mean that I don't have money. Of course. If my father is a rich man, all I need is just to ask him when I need the money. I don't necessarily have to have money in my pocket to be able to afford something. The money is not mine anyway. It's for my father. And because I am his child, I have access to the money. It is how to actually access the money. That is where we find ourselves in trouble. Whether we even believe that he has money for us to access. So the devil took Jesus to this mountain and showed him the Roman Empire, the British Empire, all the kingdoms, the Americas, he showed everything. And the glory of them. Hey, they are glorious. Are they not glorious? That's why you want to travel. You want to travel bad. I know some people, they want to travel bad. Because there's a certain glory you want to enjoy, you want to experience. Satan told Jesus that if you will bow, he took him to this mountain and he said, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou will fall down and worship me. Now, so God creates man, gives man everything in this world. Then now the devil is the one who's actually showing Jesus the things in the world as the things belong to him. What happened? What happened is what you and I know. When Adam and Eve listened and obeyed the devil, they transferred whatever inheritance they had, they transferred it to the devil. So the devil from Genesis chapter 3 took control of the riches, of the glory, of the kingdoms that God gave to man. And he says, if you don't bow to me, I ain't give you none. That's the thing. For people who have money, many people who have money have actually bowed down to the devil. And the sign is that no matter how much of the money you earn, it never changes your life. Should I say it again? The sign that you are accessing some of that money is that it doesn't change your life anything much. You must know that that money is not of God. Because when God gives you a little, you'll be satisfied. You actually don't need much from God to be satisfied. Because if God is giving you something, you don't need... The much of it is because of the lack of satisfaction. I think I'm losing some people here now. I'm saying that the lack of satisfaction is what makes people go for more. But if you are satisfied, you don't need more. If you have food in your house, you hardly even eat it. Yeah. You cook, you have this, you have that, you have that, you have that. And so when you eat, there's food in the fridge. It's even wasted. It's because you have food. If you don't have food, that's why you go around looking for food to eat. So it is a certain contentment that comes with money that people don't have. That what the devil has and what he gives, the people don't have it. That's what makes people chase after. You see, so when you wake up in the morning and it's like you are so under pressure to go somewhere and work for money, you should see that somebody is running your life. Yes. You're a slave. So I hope you get a picture. God creates, give man everything. The man hands over through Eve. Hands over the kingdoms, the glory of them, they hand it together, agree and hand it over to the devil. So Jesus come after how many hundreds and hundreds of years? Then the devil takes him to a mountain and say, you know what, I want to show you. Jesus is somebody who does not mince words. When Nicodemus came to him and said that, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, and nobody can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus went straight to the point and said, you must be born again. So when the devil came and told Jesus that, if you worship me, I'll give you these things. In verse 10, Jesus' response is what makes the whole picture clear. Jesus says, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus never said, you're a liar. It doesn't belong to you, because it belonged to him. So Jesus did not say anything about who owns the kingdoms and the glory thereof. So the world belongs to the devil, because Adam gave the world to the devil. Are you there? But the Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 25, I'm preaching already. Psalm 37 and verse 25. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaking, nor his seed begging for bread. You shall not beg. You were not created to beg. You see, so the gap or the bridge that makes the financial fortune a reality is salvation. Salvation is like repairing the bridge, bringing things back in line, and putting things right back where it belongs. The only thing is that the world still belongs to the devil. God is not interested in renovating or refurbishing this world anymore. He has given up on this world. Hurricanes will come and destroy it. He is not concerned about. What God is concerned about is you and I. But as we are here and we live here, we need God to be able to sort of organize some of the world for us. That's the tricky thing about it. The thing is in the enemy's hands. So you need God. You need God to step in. Otherwise, you have to serve the devil to get something from him. That's why Melissa will give 5,000 and all her debts are paid. There is no mathematics. There is no mathematics. This is supernatural. This is what you call a miracle. Something that a human being does not do. Fortune means wealth or riches. Your position in life as determined by wealth. So when we are saying financial fortune, so you can actually title my message, is financial fortune real? Is it real? Do you believe that you can have money? Just you. Can you believe you, Jacqueline Field? Can you believe that you can have money and that you'll be satisfied in life? That you don't have to struggle and sweat like how you are struggling and you are sweating? Is it real? Can I be financially fortunate? That's what doesn't make many people serve God. That's what makes many people follow boys. Don't focus on church. Many people are worldly. Many people are following money because they can't seem to understand and believe that financial fortune is what comes when you get saved. You see, the covenant that God has with us is to prosper us and not to do us any harm. That's what David said, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen, it is not possible. I have never come across somebody who says he's a child of God, who begs for bread. Those of you who go around begging, I challenge your identity and your ID card. So you're a disgrace to God. You beg like some beggar. You beg from everything to panties. You beg for panties.
anything you see, you want it.
You know, many people, as they go around dressing, most of the things they are wearing is not for them. It's true. It's true.
Yeah. You shall not beg anymore in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
The righteous forsake it. So tonight and tomorrow night and then Thursday night, we are going through a journey of financial, you know, miracles. So that if Melissa can give a 5,000 of it, is it Melissa's thing? I don't know if you remember. She was the only one who gave the 5,000. Only one. And I remember when I was praying for her, I heard this word in my rescue. I remember it like it was yesterday. Rescue. And I said, rescue, Lord. Lord, rescue. I didn't even know what was going to happen. And she's saying that, as for working, your salary is always going to be a little bit. I've never seen anybody in life who's happy with their salary. I mean, the salary is not bad, but I mean, of course, it's not bad. I mean, we're okay with it, but if I was to get a little 50,000 extra, I think I'll be happier. It's not bad, but you know, it could be better. If they call me and say, we are adding another 50,000, I'll say, oh no, it's okay, I'm satisfied. Nobody will say that. Nobody will say it's okay. Yeah. I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. If you and I are the children of God, if Prince William and Prince Harry and their children and their wives don't have any worry, I don't think we know who we are. This, I'm walking in power, I know who I am. It's not a song, oh. It's not just a song, oh. You must believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. You are not supposed to beg for bread. I say you are not supposed to beg for bread. Some of you, there are holes in your pocket. I seal those holes tonight. I'm going to give you 6 scriptures. Yeah. I want to show you that being financially fortunate is real. And it is our inheritance. And it's God, that is God's will for us. It is a covenant. God has already settled it. That none of his... please. How can we be poor when we are God's people? No! So the voice you are hearing is a lying voice. The things your eyes are seeing, they are not the real things. How your mind is working is not the right way your mind is working, because you are not who you think you are. You are far better than who you think you are. You have more than you think you have. Because you are righteous. And it is not possible that you be forsaken. No, your seed begging for bread. We have not walked in these promises, and therefore our waking up in the morning and coming back in the evening is just an indictment. It's like a verdict on our status, that we don't have help and we are nobodies. It's like somebody who is a prince who walks around in clothes that are like a madman's clothes. And doesn't know that he's a prince. like coming to America. Akeem. Somewhere in New York. The guy is working in some McDonald's or fast food place, cleaning the floor, sweeping and all of that. And the guy has his face on money. That is your destiny in Jesus' name. If Eddie Murphy's face can come on a currency, your name is on currencies. Your face is on currencies. Second Chronicles chapter 15. I'm going to give you 6 scriptures. You are far richer than you think. The devil is the one who is deceiving and tricking you to think that you don't have, so you should come so that I can give you some. You have it already. Second Chronicles, are you there? Chapter 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. If you leave God, he also will leave you. If you don't come to church, he also not come to your house. If you not come and if you don't visit him, he also not visit you. If you don't talk to him, he also not talk to you. If you don't read, he will also not read. That's the thing. If you don't build a relationship with God, he will also not build any relationship with you. Who needs help? Isn't it not you and I? Yeah. So what happens is that we walk in deception and we substitute the real for the unreal. Or the unreal for the real. Because what happens is that we go around making it look like you have to rely on these things that are out there to do well in life. I need to have somebody who has money. I need to have some contacts. But Melissa's debts that were canceled. Melissa is not Granger's daughter. She's just a simple, nice girl who comes to church and lives on the, is it on the dam you live somewhere? Nice place, yeah. I think the Chinese are even almost trying to move her from where she lives. Yeah. Simple. Yeah, life on the dam. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Let's go on. Now for a long season, take note of this, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God. So you understand what will happen. If you are without the true God, then it means that the covenant, you are not a covenant child. You are not a child of the king. You are not a righteous person. And therefore, your life, you can imagine, when the prodigal son left his father's house, that is what this verse is trying to say. When there was no true God, Israel had been without a true God and without a teaching priest and without law. It means somebody who has actually become a prodigal son, a vagabond that has left home. When you leave home, then you're exposed. Verse 4. But when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. This is it. If you are not on God's side, that is when you go through all the difficulties of this world. Vexations was upon the inhabitants of the camp, because in those times where there was no, they were not serving any true God, there was no peace. When they were not Christians, when they were not the people of God, things were not working well. Let's go on. 6. And the nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex with them, vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Are you seeing the difference? You're not coming to church. You're not serving God. You're not dedicating yourself to God. Not worshiping and serving the true God. It's the result of your problems. That's why it's a great thing to serve the Lord. Because as you serve the Lord, there are things that are accessible and available for you. So Asa, when he received this word of prophecy, he went and he said, you know what? Me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. We are going to give our lives to Christ. It's like, so I am now going to make sure that I get into the kingdom and become a covenant child. Let's go on. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. 10. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time. Now they brought back God. Now they are spending time in church. Their sacrifices. They are giving what they have. They are just giving themselves up to the service of God. They offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. Have you seen some before? That 7,000 sheep are killed for the altar for God. That's serious sacrifice. I said it's serious sacrifice. These are people who mean business. They have cleaned their lives of anything that God doesn't like. And now they've given themselves completely, sacrificing themselves, what, thousands of sheep. It tells you about the depth of sacrifice and selflessness they offered themselves to when they decided to repent and follow God. 12. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. You see the change? You see the transformation? These are people who are in darkness. They are not coming to give themselves to God. They are now becoming born again. Verse 13. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. It's like anybody who doesn't serve God, me and them, we ain't talking. They are dead in my life. Anybody who doesn't go the direction I'm going, I am not with them. That is the downfall of many of you. You are still attached to people who are not going the way that you're supposed to go. If you seek God with your heart, and slaughter thousands of sheep, serious sacrifice, you will cause death to those who are not going the same way with you. The prophet came and he prophesied. What more do you want? It is time to do house cleaning. It is time to assess your life and see who is there in my life that I need to say bye-bye to. Because this time from now onwards, I've decided to follow Jesus and not turning back. I'm talking about financial fortune for those that belong to God. Not those who are half here. One leg is in the church, one leg is outside. You are half-hearted. They decide to serve God with all their heart. They should put to death, whether small or great. Whether I love the person or I don't love the person, whether the person is closer to me or not closer to me, whether small or great, I am going to put them to death. Because I don't want anybody around me who is not going the way I'm going. I don't care. But some of you, you care. You can't. You are so connected to the world and so connected to bad people and bad friends and people who are not Christians or people who profess to be Christians. It's not serious repentance. It's not serious repentance from dead works. It's not serious repentance from dead works. That's why you're broke. I'm coming. Financial fortune. 14. And they swear. That shall not swear. But they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. 15. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them. And the Lord made them rich. If you are rich, you have rest. Riches, real riches, there's no sorrow. You don't jump up in the night and go and check if your door was locked or not locked. The Lord gave them from all the problems that they had from verse 1. All of those things were the adversity, the vexation. The Lord took everything away and gave them rest. It is possible to be rich as a Christian. In fact, it is possible that you are richer than somebody who is not a Christian. Yeah. The Lord gave them rest. Run about. If you are giving rest, it means that you're not studying about bills. Because bills paid already. You're not studying about ticket. Ticket paid already. So if you are studying your registration for understanding campaign, you're studying $1,000. You should check your conversion. You know, you should check how your heart, your mind, and your soul are with this God that we say we are with. You should check. Sometimes you should check it. My God. And for those who have given themselves completely to God, you will never be poor. You will never lack. You will never beg for money. You will never borrow. You will never ask anybody for money. Money will flow because you're a child of the covenant. Give them rest on about. Financial fortune is possible. That is your current state. I declare and I decree in the name of Jesus. Second verse. You see, people, there are people in Guyana who don't study money. And they are not Christians. It's not right. It's not right. And that is a picture that the devil gives many of you to make you get confused. To chase after things as if those are the things that will make you well. But God already, the moment you give yourself to God, you repent from your sins, already you usher, you see, the Bible says, oh, you cannot see the kingdom, you cannot assess the kingdom, you cannot assess the things that are in the kingdom. When somebody says that, if you don't have a visa, you can't see America. And then when you have a visa, you can see America. What does it mean? It means that when you are born again, you see the kingdom, you assess the kingdom, and there's no poverty in the kingdom of God. Can you believe that God is looking around for food to eat? Then it is okay that people are broken, people don't have things. But they say the silver and the gold, they are mine. You are financially fortunate in Jesus' name. Genesis chapter 47. Yeah, so remember Judah and Bethlehem and Simeon and all these people, when they gave themselves to God, God blessed them and gave them rest. Genesis chapter 47, verse 15. Second scripture. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread. There's a difference, though. I said there's a difference. The Egyptians, people who don't belong to God, are the ones who are supposed to punish. They are supposed to be the ones who are coming to you and I for bread. Remember, David said, I have not seen the righteous forsaking nor his seed beg for bread. So they came to Joseph and said, give us bread. For why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth. Verse 27. Same chapter. And Israel. Same chapter. The Egyptians are complaining here. They say money has failed. Charlie, these days, $20 cry. It's not easy. I can't get $20. I remember the last time I saw a granger. I only see granger, the grass I walk around us with, the green I see. I never touch granger. For the past how many months, I've not assessed green in my hands. They have come to Joseph. Joseph should be the solution for them. The Bible says, and Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt. It's the same land that people are suffering. The same land that people are going to Joseph for food. The same land, Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions. You have possessions. We are talking about Christianity and what it offers us. Christianity offers us money above, among all the other things that we have. We have riches. We have money because our father is a king and he has the money. And I'm giving you scriptures to let you understand that as long as you are on God's side, you are not supposed to be begging. You are not supposed to be in lack. You are not supposed to be borrowing, and you are not supposed to be going around and seeking help and seeking all those things. Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen. And they had possessions therein. They had possessions in the same country where people were suffering. As the Egyptians were suffering, the covenant people, they were not suffering. You will not suffer again. Do you believe what I'm saying? If you don't believe it, you live a broken life all the time. Our source of blessing is not waking up in the morning and going somewhere to work, and at the end of the month then you are blessed. That's at the end of the month, what you get is not blessing. If it's a blessing, you and I will not have any challenges anymore. If what you get, the 100,000, the 80,000, the 150,000 you get, the 180,000 you get, if that is a blessing, if you call that blessing, then you should have a house that you don't owe. You should drive the best cars. When we see you, we should know that money should be falling from your pocket when we see you walking. Because you have money, you are blessed. So that is not blessing. That is provision. That is provision. It's not blessing. God has provided for you, but it's not blessing. You can't call 80,000 from Continental or 70,000 from banks or 85,000 from where as a blessing. You don't know blessing? That's a salary. That's a provision. That is why I believe that at the end of the month, your tithe paying should not be once, unless you want to pay all of it in one. I believe that God so provides. God so gives. My life is not like, I don't live my life on salary alone. I don't live on salary alone. Hardly will I be sitting down waiting for Lighthouse Chapel International to pay me. Marking. The calendar is on my desk. I know the 24th is coming. Hardly. Hardly. One or two times, yeah, but hardly, hardly do I sit and say, when is this church people going to pay me? I'm counting the days. Is it coming? I'm going to Republic to go and check and see. You don't even have any access to check your mouth. You are going to Republic to check. And you see such a long line. Are you not ashamed when you go and the money's not inside and then you come out without drawing money? Don't you feel bad? Vexation. Are you taking a receipt as if you took money? We saw you didn't take any money from the place. It's here. We saw you. We were behind you waiting to get into the place to also withdraw money. Yeah. You can see it. You can see that people are so dependent on salary by the traffic at the ATMs on a particular date of the month. Tomorrow? Oh, Lord. That's why I don't bank at Republic. I don't bank at Republic. I don't even like them. I don't like Scotia either, but at least I don't get the traffic that you get from when you pass Camp Street. You see them black people line up like that. The line go like a worm. Like a worm. People are depending on the end of the month. Where is your God? Where is your God? Where is your God? And we Christians, our hope and our faith, everything is in our salary. So when you come to church, you say, oh, God wants you to give an amount of money. Not me. Because your eyesight, your vision is so short that you just see money, you just see salary. You can't see beyond super the natural to see into the supernatural. To believe God for abundance. It's a blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. It is a blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. And Lord bless you and your household in the name of Jesus. They had possessions therein and grew and more. In the same chapter, a few verses apart, some people have come to Joseph and say that money has failed. There's no money. We are suffering. We can't get anything. Our business is not working. Please help us. In the same chapter, Israel, God's covenant people, they don't have any need. It's like the church and out of the church. The people in the church are okay. And the people outside the church rather are the ones who are struggling. That is your story in the name of Jesus. Somebody is changing levels tonight. I said somebody is changing levels tonight. Scripture number 3. I'll give you 6 scriptures. So choose the one you like. Job chapter 22:15. When was the last time you read Job? Some of you have never read Job before. Jackman, I laugh. You know somebody like that? You feel like I'm speaking to you? Are you in verse 15? Will you continue on the old paths where evil people have walked? They were snatched away in the prime of life. The foundations of their lives washed away. For they said to God, leave us alone. We don't need you. We don't want any God. We don't want any church. I don't have time for church. I go when I feel like. I serve God when it's convenient. I have other things. Will you continue on the old path? Do you still want to be somebody in the world? Can you not just make up your mind to commit yourself to God completely? Will you continue on the old paths where evil people have walked? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They were snatched away in the prime of life. Many people die young because they don't know God. He said, Joanna was sharing with us when we were going to Jamaica. Just a simple instruction. Let us all go together in a bus. Let's go together. Sometimes some of these simple things, you may not even understand them. Then there was a course for them to swerve. And they swerved. I was even wondering, why would they not tell the folks that, you know what, please, we'll wait for you at the corner. But wait for us there so that we go together. Why would you just take the whole thing off completely? You know the way. Of course, you know where the airport is. And look at that. If God had not saved you, you would have been dead. You and your mother. Two bodies on the same day. They were snatched away in the prime of life. The foundations of their lives washed away. For they said to God, look at what happened. They said to God, they told God Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord, they said, we don't want to serve you. Leave us alone. What can the Almighty do to us? Then he says what? Yet he was the one who filled their homes with good things. So I'll have nothing to do with that kind of thinking. The people who go that way, their homes are not filled with good things. But your house, your fridge, your account, your pocket, your storehouse be filled with good things. Because he's the one who fills our homes with good things. The righteous will be happy to see the wicked destroyed. And the innocent will laugh in contempt. They will say, see how our enemies have been destroyed. The last of them have been consumed in the fire. Submit to God. Submit to God. We're looking at financial fortune. Submit to God and you will have peace. Then things will go well for you. What does the King James say? Eh? Verse 21, Job 22:21. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, and thereby good shall come unto thee. So being broke is not good. You become a Christian, good only shall come unto thee in Jesus' name. Wow. Next verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6. Yeah, this one is a must know. If you went to Bible school, you should know this scripture. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. We'll come to learn, I'm sure by the end of the convention, you come to learn that the only way to assess financial breakthrough is to give. We'll come to that as we go along. For God loves a cheerful giver. 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things. All sufficiency in all things. Does it exclude money? Does it exclude health? Does it exclude traveling and enjoying yourself? All sufficiency in all things. It is God who gives us all sufficiency in all things. It comes from God. It comes from God. So you have to be walking around, ladies and gentlemen, saying, I have all sufficiency for all things. I have all sufficiency for all things. When you wake up in the morning, say, I have all sufficiency in all things. You have to say it until it works and registers in your spirit. Because you serve the God of Israel. Next verse, Philippians chapter 4. Verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated to me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. So there's some giving taking place here, isn't it? It goes on to verse 17. It says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Do you know the meaning of this one? You understand this one? Not that I desired a gift. I mean, if you're giving me money, if you're giving me something, it's not a gift. It's a fruit. If it's a gift, it means that I don't have any right to it. You are just showing me kindness. But when you give me something, it's not kindness. It's the work that I've done on you that I'm reaping. I don't know if you are following. That is why when you're a pastor, you should be able to also build so that you can also have fruit and not depend on gifts. People give you gift when they feel like, but fruit, they are there. Mango comes. I don't have to qualify in your books to get a fruit. Once I plant, I'll reap. Yeah. So Paul is saying, it cannot be a gift because you can't give me something. I am the one who has brought you thus far. So whatever I'm getting from you, it is as a result of the work I have done on you. I planted seeds. I've preached to you. I started a church. This evangelism, you came. Now you've become prosperous. Whatever you are giving to me is fruit, not gift. Yeah. If you have sheep, you take care of them. And then they increase and they abound. And then you take one, you kill for a mutton curry. Is that a gift? From who? It's fruit from my labor. Yeah. So if you want to reap, you always have to plant some seeds. Yeah, if you want to benefit seasonally and regularly and not when people feel like. So he was making them, don't think that you're doing me a favor. I have a right to this thing that I'm getting. Because I brought you into where you are and where you are now. Yeah, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit And the fruit may abound to your account, because as you bear fruit and I enjoy from it, your reputation and your account in heaven is recorded. You are recorded as a faithful person. Not as somebody who we did so much work on you and you never yielded any fruit. That would be a bad account. You will not have a bad account in Jesus' name. 18. But I have all and abound. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And it says in verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need. Hey, do you know this scripture? This is not, you are not depending on a job. You are not depending on a boss. You are not depending on a boyfriend or a family who is bringing you 50 USO. Your God. It is God who pressed the US button from America. God is the one who pressed those buttons. Wow. If anybody who says anything from abroad, it's God who pressed the button. Otherwise, they have forgotten about you since 27 years ago. They don't even remember you exist. They wake up one morning and go to first thing, you know, and send you money. Not because they chose to, but that God pressed a button. Because he's the one who will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There's nothing that God cannot afford. You see, so when you go to some shops and things and you see some prizes, they'll say, what? What? How many are caught up in those things sometimes? No, please, repent from tonight. You should, when you look at the price, you say, you know what? Oh, well, I don't want to waste my dad's money. Let me go and find something else. That's reasonable. Never say that. What? That thing expensive. But me got all the money. All of that. You see, when you say that, you are bringing... You are not even a prince or princess anymore. You are disgracing your status. You think Harry can walk into a shop and say, I can't afford this top? By the time they're leaving, the vehicle, the trunk is filled with shopping. So what? How much is the phone? Phone dear board. Samsung? I want some blue. No, you should learn to speak like a king's child. Yeah, you know, because that is what the physical is. Indeed, physically, you don't have that money on you. So if you think more physically, you say, ooh, I don't have that money. But remember the supply doesn't come from you. It comes from God. He's the one who supplies all your needs according to his riches. You can't even finish paying for your makane. It's not man's riches. It is God's riches. So when you see the price, don't say that you got all the money. Your father got all the money. Except that you don't want to be a wasteful child. But he said, now and then you just want to be spoiled. He said, Daddy, I want that expensive thing. At least this time. You know how I've been saving you money all the time? I'm a good child. Anytime I go, I don't buy from that side because I don't want to wait. But this time, Daddy, it's Christmas time. Daddy, it is Christmas time. I'm going to that same shop and I'm going to look on the right side. And I'm picking 7 things from the right side. You hear what I'm asking you, Daddy? Yeah, forget about the price. So God will be heaven and say, hey, this is my child. Angels, please, just organize the money for her. Let her go. Sign a check for her to cash. And not always. 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 In the name of being frugal. In the name of conserving money. In the name of economizing. You are making God not the provider and the supplier of your needs. But my God shall supply. Let me give you the next. It connects to this scripture. I want to give you this scripture here. 2 Kings chapter 4. So these two scriptures, this is not it. This scripture number one. Six? Oh, really? Five? Okay, number 12. Five. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 16. So these two scriptures are connected, right? My God shall supply your needs. Verse 16. 15. 14. Thirteen. This is the woman, the widow who created a small room for Elijah. Is Elijah rather? Is Elijah? Elijah. So she was so kind to the prophet decided to, you know, do something for her. So the Bible said, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Would you want me to talk to the king for you? Is there something that maybe you need a house lot? You know, so wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And the lady answered, this is a widow. Elisha, no, thought that, no, the lady has something. She broke. So she needs some help. The lady told Elijah, I dwell among my own people. What does it mean? I don't have any need. This is my home. I have access to everything. It's my own people. The king is from my family. The captain of the host is my uncle. I have no need. You are the one who, when you pass, I give you a room to stay. I'm all right. I have a lot. I have a land lot. I have a house lot. I built my house. I'm good. This is a woman whose needs have been supplied. I'm good. I dwell among my own people, Israel. You go to the next verse. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi said, she doesn't have a child. And her husband is that weeds on Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, so the husband weeded this morning. But I'm just amazed at what the woman said. Even not having a child was not a problem to her. She said, I do that among my own people. What do I need? Is there a small boy to send to go and fetch water? I have sisters. I have nephews. I have nieces. I do it among my own people. I'm all sufficient because of God, because I live with God, because I'm a child of God, and I'm part of the people of God. I don't have any need. Meanwhile, the woman didn't even have a child. Because the husband weeds. The big cutlass on Tuesday. Machete. Are you following? Yes. Financial fortune is your portion. Yes. Financial stability is also your portion. Yeah. Your foundation is established upon great promises. It is not a plan of God for you to go wandering and looking and wanting and asking and posing like a beggar and posing like somebody who doesn't have hope. Like the widow, you live and you dwell among your people, and therefore you have no need. Last scripture, 1 Kings chapter 3. Do you like scriptures? Okay, That's the only thing that can motivate us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter. It's not easy to take Pharaoh's daughter. Yeah, you gotta be important to take Pharaoh's daughter. Yeah. And brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house. You build your own house. Don't believe that you are going to rent for the rest of your life. Even if you are renting, you should speak to the house and say, "You are mine. I am yours. You are mine. I'm yours." Unless you don't like it, then you should say that, "I have my own house." You will live your own house before the end of your life. Your house is not going to be a house that you tie blocks without columns. You are not an animal to live in a cage. You build a house with columns, with beams, with guest rooms. Not with one toilet, but with toilets. The days of one toilet is over. Master bedroom. Master bedroom. When you come out of your room, you're already dressed up. So now that you are fighting for to go and sit on the toilet. Take a number and wait. Sit on a chair. And when one goes in, you move and sit on another chair. Musical chair. So just go and do number two. You are building a real house with a master bedroom. You must have toilets. Yeah, you must have choices. Toilets. Bathrooms. Depending on how hurry you are. Well, depending on whether you're in a hurry or not, you go into the shower. If you have time, you go into the bathtub. If you want refreshing, you walk into the jacuzzi. You get bucket and you dipping up water. Bucket by the pipe and you dipping up water. And you it is over in Jesus' name. Bucket. 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 I see tiles in your bathroom. Tiles. Tiles. Yeah. Tiles in your bathroom. Even tiles. As a child of God, you don't even stand on tiles to bath. Be concrete. You know? And you get a nice shower. Not the one with the valve, the red one that you turn on for the water to come. You see, it makes you, even when you travel, you get confused as to how the water comes out of the bathroom. Because you are used to the red valve. You just turn it and then... Hot and cold. I was in a hotel somewhere. And I turned on the water. It was flowing like that. I wanted it in through the shower. Hey! I looked at it. There's some battle under the tap that you have to push inside. Check that. Check. Hey, I said today, I'll conquer this bathroom. Hey. It took me about 5 minutes, but I got it. I said, hey, this thing, it's very important too. This red and white valve that you have in your bathroom that you turn it on. In PVC valve. It makes your mind so simple. Well, and the valve breaks, you have to use a screwdriver or something to just turn the thing on. Or pliers. I declare that these things are in the past for you. They are history for you. No more shall you use a latrine. No more shall you use a latrine. Hey! I don't want to say if you use latrine, you are cursed, but you will not use a latrine anymore. Save our souls. No more kaichure. Yeah, you not use newspaper to clean yourself anymore. Yeah. 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 You know, sit down. Let me tell you something. Sit down. You see, where I live, one day I had one of the bishops came to, you know, to visit us and all of that. And then he said, but Collins, can you not put a mesh around these windows? The mosquitoes are too much. Then I even realized that there's mesh. Because you sleep in a mosquito net and you are okay. But the mosquitoes, they are smart. You see, your days of mosquito net and struggling in the net is over. Yeah. You know, it's very simple, you know. You just get a mesh, 1x3 or something, just around the window. Yeah. So I actually don't like this awning windows. The glass push out. When you do that, you can't have mesh. You shouldn't live in a house where... Why? Are you not a child of God? It's like you are at the battlefront. You are fighting. I got this one here. Look. Yeah, Kaya. You see, Kaya. Black Kaya. All those marks and signs of mediocrity and poverty and backwardness has been removed from your life. In Jesus' name. No more Kyle. Big on Kyle. Protox Kyle. When you wake up in the morning, your nose are blocked. Smoke in your nose. Close this smoke. Let's continue. Sit down. Until he made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem. Round about. Verse 2. is our last scripture. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Solomon loved the Lord. You know what this turned out into? Loving the Lord? It turned out into, hello, you can't lock at this time. No locking. Chapter 10 and verse 7. Solomon loving the Lord. Queen of Sheba comes to Jerusalem. And she is blown away. She says, how be it, I believe not words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, what I was told, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I have heard. That's your story in Jesus' name. Every single one of you that loves the Lord, this is your story. Your wisdom, your prosperity will exceed the fame that people know about you. When you are pointed out that this is the man, this is the woman, who has that, who owns this, people will be surprised. This is the beginning of a turnaround of financial fortune. It is your portion. It is yours. I declare over your life, your household, you shall not be down anymore. You'll be up only. You'll be above and not below. You are the head and not the tail. From tonight, I declare you financially fortunate. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stand to your feet. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.